pattern church. And it was a pattern church because it started out, no doubt, in a Jewish synagogue. But by the time of Paul's writing his letter to the Ephesian church, it was probably largely Gentile. But it had Jewish roots to it. It was certainly not the only church that followed this pattern. But I think another reason that maybe the Ephesians were, I guess you'd say, dear to Paul, if you think about it, go back and maybe you know where it's at, Ty, but it was from Ephesus that all they in Asia heard the word of the Lord. So it was apparently some sort of a basis, not only for Paul, but the Lord used it.
Yeah, it's 1910.
Okay, thanks. 1910. All they in Asia heard the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And understand that biblically, what Asia refers to there is what we know as modern-day Turkey. Okay? I'm sure it went in a few other places other than that. But that was a tremendous area to get covered that way. And also, another clue or evidence we have is there in Acts 20, when Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, he called the elders of the church at Ephesus to meet him. And he gave them a charge. And so whether Paul understood it or not, or the Holy Ghost simply had it done that way, Ephesus was important as a center. And if you study, Fox's Book of Martyrs, you remember Paul urged Timothy to abide at Ephesus. And according to history, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, I don't think Timothy was a bishop. I don't think he needed that designation. But he was certainly a pastor, and he pastored at Ephesus. And I believe that's also where the Lord took him home from. Okay? So Ephesus had a place in Paul's heart. And I don't think it's any coincidence either that it's the high water mark of Pauline doctrine. Okay? He implanted teaching there, a treasure. And yet, I think there's something in it for us as well, as those who would be followers of Paul and hopefully in some ways imitators of the Ephesian saints. We find in Revelation, they're the very first church mentioned, and also the one perhaps in some ways mentioned with the most grievous charge against them. Yeah. They left the first love.
Yeah.
So, not to be a discouragement or a fear to us, but we want to see that even those that maybe the Lord, the Holy Ghost, took a little extra time and care with, it's not an insulation from missing the best. Okay, we want to give the more earnest heed every day to the things we have heard. Okay, the enemy is going to fight those who recognize and embrace their place in the heavenlies. They're going to have a battle that other saints aren't going to have because of the place that they're seeking and trusting the Lord for. So, going on from there, we also left off last week pointing out that verses 17 through 23 are Paul's first, the first of two prayers that Paul prays for the Ephesians. And he, in this prayer, let's have somebody go to chapter 2, someone to Philippians 1. Someone to Isaiah 6, someone to Luke 8, someone to John 8, and someone to Romans 11. In this prayer, he petitions our Father and his Father, obviously, to enlighten the eyes of our understanding by giving unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of his Son. And it should follow, if our Father didn't give us faith, we would have none, and we could not believe his word. It's that simple. We're dependent upon him, even for the ability to believe it. Okay. Whoever's in chapter 2 here of Ephesians, verse 8.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
Can't get any plainer than that. It's a gift. It doesn't originate with us. And then, Tammy, if you would, turn over to James 1. And verse 17 there, when you get there.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Okay. I think faith is a pretty good gift, don't you?
Amen.
Okay. Philippians 1, whoever's there, verses, let's see. My fingers really got messed up here, Joe. I hope we can recover whatever happened there. They had a, looks like a spastic moment. Philippians 1, 29 through 30, whoever's there.
For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me.
Okay. So see, it's given to us to believe. If something's given, it's not something that we have already or have naturally. It's something that has to be given to us. So it is given to us to believe in him. Isaiah 6, whoever's there, verses 9 and 10.
And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but receive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed.
Okay, so you see again, faith is a gift. And based on our willingness to accept it or not, God can withhold it. And that's what he said here in Isaiah. Preach to this people, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen, they're not going to understand. Okay? All right, Luke 8, whoever's there, verse 10.
And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand.
Wow. Sounds like the Lord plays favorites. No. He simply knows who is going to have a receptive heart and who is not. And he acts accordingly. John 8, whoever's there, verse 43.
Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?
Okay. They couldn't understand because they wouldn't understand. It's that simple. They didn't want to understand. Romans 11, whoever's there, verse 8.
According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day.
Okay. Now, it can't be any plainer than that. God gave them the spirit of slumber, the inability to believe. But he didn't do that maliciously. He did that, just like with Pharaoh, after a prolonged track record of disbelief, and in his omniscience, he knows they're never going to turn. Okay, so he's not changing the tables on anyone. Now, Paul says here in verse 17, that the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is not some mysterious power of insight or discernment that only pastors and teachers are given. Okay? Dispense with that right away. That's not what this is talking about. Whoever read in John 8, go to John 16 and someone to 1 Corinthians 2, someone to Romans 6, and someone else to Acts 18. So this is not some further, higher level of ability in the Scriptures that's limited only to certain people. It is simply that hard attitude of belief that enables the Holy Ghost to reveal to us those things which Jesus said that he would in John 16:13. Whoever's there.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Okay. You will notice that there are no qualifiers or disqualifiers in that statement that the Lord made to his disciples. He said, the Holy Ghost will show you. And what's left unsaid is, all you need to do is be willing to listen to what he says. Okay? Be willing to listen. If this were not the case, if only pastors and teachers got this elevated level of knowledge, whatever it is, then God would be playing favorites. And he doesn't do that. He is not a respecter of persons. Okay? Know that. He does, however, as Sister Bodhi once said, have pets. And I'm one of them. You believe that, Michelle? I got some sea oceanfront property in Arizona. No, she said, he will make a pet out of anyone who will let him get close enough to pet them.
Amen.
So, it falls back on you and I. Do you want God's best or don't you? Okay? If you do, you're one of his pets. All right? Anyway, so it's simply an attitude of faith. If you go back to verse 15 here, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now, Paul would not have prayed in this way if these Ephesian saints were known to him for being ones who were very reluctant to believe, slow to take things in. His prayer would have been different had that been the case. All right. The fact that they were, as our pastor likes to say, quick to believe, that they were eager to believe, enabled Paul to pray the prayer that he does. All right? Okay. The things that Jesus said that his disciples could not receive at that moment, back in John 16 and verse 12, these are what the Holy Ghost can reveal to us now. These are also things that the natural man and his mind cannot receive. All right? Whoever's in 1 Corinthians 2, if you would read the first 14 verses for us.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, though we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto the glory, which one of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing things, spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Okay. So, it's the Holy Ghost that has to reveal these things to us. The natural mind is not capable. Not only not capable, it's not interested. In spite of what people might tell you, you know, I searched for God for years.
No, you didn't.
God was searching for you. You just had to wait until you were willing to surrender. Okay, the natural mind is not capable of receiving this. And this is why we need to be dependent on the Holy Ghost always. I doubt that I'm the only person in here that's had the experience of finding maybe a Bible study, maybe an article written by someone. And as you read along, you're going, wow, this person knows, they understand. What? And you get to a point where they say something totally unscriptural. Yeah. And it's usually in the basics. And you go, oh. And there's people like that. There's some that I know that are this close.
Yeah.
They're that close, but they're missing it. Because somewhere along the line, they let this thing get in the way. Whether it's what they were taught as a child, I don't know. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay? It's that simple. So we want to always be dependent upon the Holy Ghost. Let Him lead. He is not going to lead us into error. And if we follow His leading, we will indeed be able to understand, contrary to popular opinion, we will be able to understand and know all the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told His disciples, I've withheld nothing from you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told His disciples, He will guide you into 99.98735% of the truth. Right?
No,
all the truth. That means nothing left out. All right? Okay, let's go on here. Again, the natural mind and his man and his mind cannot receive this. Whoever's in Romans 6, verse 17.
But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
Okay. Notice that phrase, obeyed from the heart, not from the mind, from the heart. All right? We have to be willing to trust what the Lord shows to us. It's not enough to be able to recite verse, chapter, fact, whatever. That's not going to cut it. This has to be my life. I have to be willing, in one sense, to bet my life on what the Lord shows me. Job did. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Yeah. Obey from the heart, okay? If it doesn't penetrate any deeper than the mind, it's not doing any good. Acts 18, whoever's there, verse 27.
And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace.
Which had believed through grace. All that college education they had didn't do any good. They were as helpless as the person that couldn't read. It's all through grace. And grace is a gift. Hebrews 4, whoever's there, verse 3.
For we which have believed do enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Okay. This is another characteristic of what the Holy Ghost will reveal to us. It will always be that which is peaceful and restful. If something is told to you, or you happen to be studying yourself, and the thought comes along, well, No, it's very simple. All you have to is believe. Okay? You don't have to, if I really want this to take place in my life, then I got to stop doing this. Or I got to stop going here. No, you've got to believe.
Amen.
The word itself is the power to change. It's not in us. All right? Okay, let's have somebody go to 1 John 4, someone to Luke 1, and someone back to John 8.
Luke what?
Luke 1. Whoever gets to 1 John 4, verse 16.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Okay. And I think it was our pastor that brought this out recently. The Holy Ghost, as he leads you into truth, is not going to lead you into hatred. Okay? Now, there is something to hate. It's called sin. But, just like a doctor, if you go to the doctor and you've got an infection, the doctor doesn't hate you. He hates the illness. He wants to kill the illness. He doesn't want to harm you. Okay? So, yes, we should have an unbending and uncompromising hatred of sin. But you don't hate the sinner.
Amen.
All right? Big difference. Luke 1, whoever's there, verse 45.
And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Okay. This was a verse our pastor used several years ago, and I love it. Blessed is the one that believes, because there will be a performance of the things which you're willing to believe. All right? I'm always reminded, and I'm sure some of you have heard it too, someone accused Brother Copley one time of believing too much. Well, when you figure out how much is too much to believe God for, you let me know. Okay? John 8, whoever's there, verse 31 and 32.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Okay, that's another characteristic of what the Holy Ghost leads us into. It's freedom. Mm-hmm. All right? It is not license. Mm-hmm. All right? It is freedom. It is not license to do as we please. It is the exact opposite, because there is something that we are bound to. There is something that constrains us. Mm-hmm. It's called the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Before we go on, this thought of insight or discernment that Paul is praying for, we've hopefully made it clear that it's what the Holy Ghost does, and only the Holy Ghost can do. And it's available to anyone who will have it. Again, it's not something reserved for teachers or pastors or anything else. Paul encouraged one group of saints, maybe you remember who it was, Joe, that they should be growing and grown up enough that they are able to admonish one another. Okay? Every one of us in here should be capable of standing up here on a moment's notice and giving testimony of the gospel. Okay? It's not some gift reserved for Ty and I and whoever else are teachers. Any one of us should be able to. And I encourage you, if you don't feel qualified, good. Because again, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And there is no reason why everyone in here couldn't get up here on a moment's notice and teach. Because you've all got the same Holy Ghost, the same ability. It's simply, will you believe him for it? And in that, I made mention last time, or maybe two times ago, And before I forget, I hope you enjoyed Justin's lesson. Mm-hmm. I sure enjoyed it myself. Yeah. Love that man. Mm-hmm. And Lord willing, we'll call on him again sometime. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned here a while back these things called stereograms, the magic eye, that have an image in them, a three-dimensional image, that you can only see if you're willing to look cross-eyed or something like that. But the image is there, all right? The image is here. The teaching, the doctrine is here. If you can't see it, it's because you haven't let the Holy Ghost show it to you yet. Okay? It's not something concocted out of thin air by any means. And there's several examples that I wanted to give you besides that those stereograms of things in the natural world that show just how limited our vision is, mm-hmm. as human beings, how blind we really are. Mm-hmm. And the first of those, some of you as kids may have seen these little things. I think they were available in cereal boxes to start with, and then you could probably buy them at the store. But basically, you got this little kit with two different red pens in it, and a set of glasses with red lenses. And you could write with both pens, and you could write your secret message by using the right pen for the letters. And you could write something out, and it looked like a sentence to a letter that you were writing to somebody, and somebody's going, oh, that's kind of boring. But when you put the glasses on, one of the shades of red became invisible, and the other one stood out. And there was your secret message. Okay? The glasses made the difference. They enabled you to see what was there. I mean, it's not like the glasses created letters out of that weren't there. They were there. But you were blind to them without the vision. Okay? Another example. You've all probably heard of night vision. Basically, it takes the ambient light and intensifies it tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of times. Whatever's out there that you're looking at through a night vision scope, and it makes it pretty much like daylight, whatever's out there is there. It's not like the imager creates anything. It's there. But until you have that amplification to these eyes that are so limited and so weak, you can't see it. Okay? Isaiah, let's see, was it Isaiah or Psalms, Joe? Where it said, in thy light shall we see light.
Psalms?
Okay. This is light. I think everybody here will agree. It's light. But somebody kill the lights back there and make this room dark. We can sit here all night and try to read in the pitch dark. We're not going to see anything. We're not going to be able to read. We have to have light in order to see the light that's here. Okay? Another example, and these are all just, you know, technology things. Any of you that have heard of thermal vision? There are imagers now that rely on body heat. Okay? Hunters use them for finding animals that they've downed and stuff like that. The military uses them for obvious reasons. But again, the thing is out there. It's just that our eyes are incapable of seeing it in the dark. But that imager picks up light waves, they're called infrared, that we can't see, converts them to visible that we can see, and then lo and behold, what's really out there, now I can see it. Okay? The vision is what's limited. Our natural vision, our spiritual vision is what we need. Another thing that's always been interesting to me, I used to get kind of tickled at all these people that, you know, always talked about substances that were so dangerous, pollution and all this stuff. You've got all these metals like cadmium and chromium and things like this. And mercury's a big one. Ooh, you don't want to eat any fish with mercury in it, right? And for many, many years, you know, I thought, come on, people. How prevalent is this stuff? You know, who in here did not play with mercury as a kid? Boy, were we stupid. Okay, and I'm not saying anybody in here is going to die of mercury poisoning. Right. But there's an experiment that you can do. If you take a sheet of, they have these neon colors for posters, yellow, green, pink, orange, whatever. If you take a sheet of that paper and you take a container of mercury and put it in front of that sheet and you have an ultraviolet light and you shine that ultraviolet light at that container of mercury onto that day glow sheet, and then you take the lid off, on the shadow of that container you will see what looks like black smoke coming out of it. Those are mercury vapors. And you would never think in a million years, I didn't, something as heavy as mercury could vaporize that easily, but it vaporizes. So every time you're holding it, you're breathing the vapors in. Every time you're around an open container, and that's the proof right there. Something we can't see or detect with our eyes, but if we have the right light, well, lo and behold, it's there. Okay, it's reality. So anyway, those are examples of the what Paul is talking about here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. All right? Okay, let's go on. Somebody back to John chapter 4. Somebody to John chapter 1. Somebody to Romans 4. Someone to Galatians 5. And someone to Philippians 2. And this, what Paul talks about here, when he says, give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, this disclosure, if you will let me use the word, this disclosure of knowledge, of epignosis, Joe, the full understanding, full, complete, perfect understanding, this disclosure of knowledge will always and only be in truth and love. Okay? And we find that in chapter 4 and verse 15 here, if you want to look it up in Ephesians. In other words, grace and faith. There is no truth outside of the grace of God.
Amen.
All right? And faith works only one way. By love. Okay? John 1, whoever's there, verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, full of grace and truth. That leaves no room for anything else. All right. Romans 4, whoever's there, verse 16.
Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them only which is of law, the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
And then in chapter 5, Joe, verse 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Okay. Galatians 5, whoever's there, verse 6.
For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
All right. So you see how these four, grace, truth, faith, love, are all intertwined. They cannot be separated. And they are four identifying marks or principles, if you will, of what the Holy Ghost is going to lead us into. All right, what Jesus himself is. All right, so if you're being led into something that doesn't fall into one of those four, you want to start checking things, because it's not the Holy Ghost. Okay, the Holy Ghost, interestingly enough, is elsewhere titled the Spirit of Truth by Jesus himself, and that occurs in John 14, 15 and 16, once in each chapter there. And the Holy Ghost is on record as dealing in and being associated with the love of God, strangely enough. If somebody, Joe, you were in Galatians. No, who was in Galatians 5? If you'll stay there, someone go to Philippians 2, someone to Colossians 1, someone to 2 Timothy 1 and someone to 1 Peter 1, and whoever's in Galatians 5, verse 22.
Mm-hmm. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith.
Okay. And again, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's any accident that the order in which those fruit are listed. Okay? Philippians 2, verse 1.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowel and mercies.
Ah. So what do you suppose the fellowship of the Spirit consists of?
Love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Colossians 1, whoever's there, verse 8.
Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit.
Okay. 2 Timothy 1, whoever's there, verse 7.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And 1 Peter 1, whoever's there, verse 22.
Who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authority, that's 3, sorry.
Is that 1 Peter 1, 22?
Mm-hmm. No, that was 3. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Okay. Boy, the Holy Ghost is connected with love. Isn't mm-hmm. that interesting? And I don't know that these are all of the references that you will find. Mm-hmm. So what the Holy Ghost is not connected with are all those works of the flesh listed mm-hmm. in Galatians. Strife, envy, divisions, mm-hmm. things like that. That is not of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Now, you understand that we may come to a place where we have to disagree with somebody because of truth mm-hmm. and falsehood, but we do that in love. Yes. We don't do that in a spirit of anger or hatred, okay? It's done in a spirit of love. All right, so the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost opening the Scriptures, what was always there, to our hearts. Paul had this experience. Mm-hmm. Think about that, man. How old would you say Paul was, Ty, when he had the confrontation on the road to Damascus?
Maybe. Right around 20, plus or minus a couple years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if he started being indoctrinated in the Scriptures probably at the age of 4 or 5, he had at least 15 years. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking elementary school and high school. We're talking serious indoctrination. Mm-hmm. He was the son of a Pharisee, and he was on his way to becoming a Pharisee, and did become a Pharisee. So we're talking intense astronaut training, college level type stuff. The man knew his Scriptures. Don't ever doubt that. Alright? But he knew those Scriptures completely blind. Alright? And it's evidenced by the hatred, the viciousness that he went after the saints of Jesus. Okay? But there came a change. And let's see, I've got to turn back here and get in front of Matthew. Okay, there we go. Old Testament. There came a change. And all of a sudden, all this stuff that was recorded in here opened up to him. And he began to see the exact opposite in some cases, most cases probably, of everything he'd been taught. He found out that it wasn't obedience and strict observance that was going to get him anywhere. It was a life that was constrained by the love of God. He found out that keeping those 600 and some odd different points of the law was not going to get him anywhere. It was loving one another. It was grace. It wasn't by works. All that opened up to that man over a period of at least 3 years, although he never stopped learning, did he, Joe? But a lot of that began to open up to that man, and it was through this exact same process. I hate to call it a process. The eyes of his understanding were enlightened. The Holy Ghost dwelt in him, and he went back, he read the exact same words, the exact same verses. But now there was light where there wasn't light before. So it's nothing mysterious. It is something that is available to every one of us, and we should be taking advantage of. And I will simply say, shame on us if we aren't.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Not to interfere, Scott, but I was amazed when I thought, although he studied at, with Gamaliel, one of the best, but he said, I did it ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
He called it ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
From the best teacher to ignorance. That's an amazing contrast.
Yeah. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He is not able to. It's not a question of how long or how intensely you study.
No.
This natural mind is simply not equipped. If you want to do it in technical terms, this mind, this natural mind, is on a wavelength and a frequency that is so far removed from the one the Lord is on, there's just no way that you're going to get the reception. Okay? And that brings up another example, Joe. How many of you, if I told you that there are people in this room that you can't see right now, would believe me? Anybody not believe me? Because if you don't, I'll go borrow a TV out of my wife's classroom and bring it in here and turn it on, and you'll see people, and they're right in this room. The problem is, our natural bodies don't have the ability to see those people. We've got to have machines and instruments to do some conversion to make them available to us, to make it visible to us. But anyway, so that is, and I can't emphasize this too much. Again, this what Paul was praying for the Ephesians here was not something reserved only for them, only for pastors, only for teachers, only for evangelists, only for apostles, whatever. It's every child of God.
Amen.
All right? We must be filled with the Holy Ghost. But once we are, Jesus said he will lead you into all the truth.
Amen.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we did cover the fact that... let me see here. What did I do with it? Well, it's here somewhere. Anyway, the fact of the Holy Ghost himself. He was given on the day of Pentecost, but no one was forced to drink. They had to all want it. They had to all desire it. So, again, there has to be a desire on our parts. If we get filled with the Holy Ghost, okay, now I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've spoken in tongues. I've arrived. No. It's just like the new birth. It's only the beginning.
Amen.
It's a beginning just like the new birth is. There's lots to do. Okay, and if you will. The Holy Ghost wants to lead you into all the truth. Anybody here gotten to that point yet?
No.
No. The Lord told Joshua, there remaineth yet much land to be possessed, Joe. There's a lot out there still. Okay? So, we're out of time. I'm sorry. I hope it was a blessing to you. And Lord willing, we will continue on if he cares.